the supervisors will reconvene, and we are at 7A, Office of Emergency Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair and Board Supervisor. So I come to you today with good stuff. Today, as of 10:13, we are now officially switched over to... Oh, my name is Brian Schoen, Director of Emergency Services. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so we switched over from Code Red. So we are no longer using Code Red. Siskiyou County as a whole has took on Code Red since about 2013. It has served its purpose, but we've now moved on to Ready Siskiyou Alerts, which is also state-integrated warning and alert system. And one of the things that I'd like to personally, while I have this microphone, is to personally thank my staff for doing an outstanding job on putting this together. This was a project that we knew we needed to take on, but as we have spoke just a few moments ago, that we tend to get pulled in a lot of different other directions. And as much as this needed to happen, I just didn't have the bandwidth, so I handed it over to staff, and they did a fantastic job of moving this forward and getting it implemented earlier than expected. Quick little plug on this. We used it last year during our fire season along with Code Red. And what we noticed was a lot quicker response. So as we would push those evac orders out, we'd push them both at the same time, that the Ready Secure Alerts would push quickly. And they have a nice, soft, pleasant voice instead of that harsh Code Red robotic voice. So. That is a huge, huge plus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to the guys that took care of it and have them explain what they did. Thank you.
So I'm Adam Heilman. I am the Staff Services Analyst for the Office of Emergency Services. And I am very excited to introduce Ready Siskiyou Alerts to the board and to the rest of the county. The process, as Brian was saying, has taken a better part of a couple of years to really get through. And one of the important points is that we were able to get the data from Code Red and bring it into Ready Siskiyou. However, Code Red we're not able to confirm that all of the data made it. We have every reason to believe it did, but we're still going to encourage the public to sign up with Ready Siskiyou as well to ensure it and to make sure that their record is current and accurate. We spent a great deal of time working with our partner agencies, worked with our dispatch centers at the local public safety answering points. One of the things that we're working towards is kind of an all hands on deck approach when something big happens, where the single or two dispatchers in the sheriff's office, in addition to having to answer all the 911 calls, it's very difficult for them to also have to stop and craft an emergency message, where if they can call on a partner agency to take care of that for them, that's something that we're really encouraging. But we've worked hard with our partner agencies. We've trained up their training staffs, and we are ready to go. So something we're real excited about.
I'm trying to sign up while we're talking. I don't want you to think I'm not paying attention.
Good morning, Board. My name is Owen Cabodown Lane, Disaster Services Coordinator of the Office of Emergency Services. So as you're wanting to sign up, Supervisor Cobb said, if you're going to go to alerts.readysiskiyou.gov.
I'm already getting there. I'm going through it. The only place I've got hung up so far was, and I don't mean to interrupt you, on the county website, it says sign up for Code Red yet. It hasn't changed yet, but that's going to have to change.
So I guess ask a real quick question. So all these people that have signed up, when we push to get on COGRED, they don't automatically switch over? You guys can't do that?
Yeah, so the, that was one of the pushes that we made with COGRED. Sheriff and I had a very nicely drafted letter that said we want our information. So all of the years of everyone who signed up through COGRED has been migrated over to ReadySysCU. However, I do want the public to go in and check that.
Okay.
So we will send a test one out here this week, and then we will also do our two in June that we've always done in previous years.
Okay.
So yes, you, our contact list was migrated over.
Okay, because I'm a little concerned that there's a lot of people that are going to be left out there that are not on for whatever reason.
Right, and this is a huge push across the board. It had to be done.
And as you well know, we have very limited media to get that word out. So I'm going to suggest you have to go to some of these city councils and get them the same spiel.
Already planning on it. We have my face and Sheriff's face.
Thank
probably
you.
Too much.
Okay.
For this county,
didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. Thank you.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Owen Cabo Down Moline.
Owen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So yeah, so it's going to alerts.readysysCU.gov. We'll take you to that sign-in page, and then following through the steps on the sign-up. It's a nice, clean interface, very easy to get all your information in, and then once you have your account set up, you can go in, change your household information, you can change your address, you can change login information, anything you really need to do. You can add other members of your household if you'd like. If you can add other phone numbers, you can add other addresses, however you would like to do it. As you can see on the video here, we're going through the sign-up, so that you can see how the whole process works.
So by signing in, like you have us here, and having already been on COGRED, am I duplicating the effort, or am I already in there?
So we would like you to go in and just make sure that you're in there. Ideally, your information has been already transferred over from COGRED, but if it's not, the best way to make sure that is to go in and sign up and make sure all your information is updated and current. Yes, sir.
Also, the one thing we really, really like about this program and that we've seen really across the state, so two pieces. A, that this program allows a lot more interface with you as the user. You can put in access and functional needs. You can put in your own information regarding pets that need to be evacuated. And that will also come back to the PSAPs or the dispatchers when we push out alerts as needed. Additionally, so I also sit on the board for alerts and warnings for the state. And one of the initial pushes for the state was that they could step in and push evacuations in our place, and through the SEMS, the Standardized Emergency Management, and our technical groups, we fought very hard to make sure that that wasn't something that the state could just step in and send without authorization from either OES or the Sheriff's Department. So the wording now states that we have to authorize anything that the state is pushing unless it is a catastrophe such as a war or a nuclear blast or something of that sense. So the state, although it is a state contracted system, they don't have overall rights. The county still withholds the rights to push alerts and warnings. So I thought that was a very important part of it and a huge push for the counties as a whole.
I'm almost there.
All right, so pending any questions, and Supervisor Copliff will get the first alert, so we're going to send that. No.
So, success. Look at that.
You're ready to go. So, pending any questions, these are some important links for our folks. We're going to meet with SysCU Media Council at some point and push that out as well. We do have a rock tour, if you will, basically announcing our ReadySysCU alerts to the county. And that's one of the reasons why we did it in April, so we have that time prior to a potential fire season.
So you're going to the cities, but are you going to the community service districts as well?
Absolutely.
Like McLeod, Happy Camp, so.
Yes, and then also working closely with our fire safety councils, our core, any of our volunteer groups, and our VOED as well. So the VOED that we pushed last year, and we ended up getting a grant for $7,500, or actually $12,000, for preparedness, and the least dose grant is going towards ready system alerts and all warning and alerting.
Excellent. Great job.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And it even worked so far. Right here, within minutes. Anything? Anybody?
Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Do you want me to skip yet? Airports, are you ready? Okay. All right. Let's go to 7B, airports. Good morning.
Good morning. Joy Walter at Regional Services. Here to give you an update on the airports. First on view, there's no updates there. I don't have one tenant out there. Did drive by it the other day. It looks beautiful. As far as for Happy Camp, I am still trying to get a hold of the United States Forest Service. I've sent multiple emails and just not getting a response from them on the abandonment plan. So I will still work on that and see where we can get with that.
Why don't you go knock on the door down the street?
I probably could, yeah. I walk over there, so yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
As far as for Scott Valley, in the last couple of times of the updates, I've been telling you that the U.S. Forest Service is working on a bigger footprint out there. They have decided to not do that. So we are working on a contract with them for emergencies when there's wildfire, that we will be getting monies when their helicopters are parked on our airports. But they are not extending their footprint out there as of the time being. But I am going to try and work with County Council to see if we can get their square footage. Right now, they only pay $1 per year out there. And so I'd like to see if we can't get them up to the current billing rate, which is 32 cents a square foot.
And this is Siskiyou?
That's out of Siskiyou. No, Siskiyou's already dead. This is Scott Valley. Sorry, Scott Valley. Out at Siskiyou, we are going to be having our last TAC meeting.
Before, sorry to interrupt you, but we were at $1 a year in Siskiyou. How come Scott Valley didn't come along since it's
two separate contracts?
Yeah, I know, but they're the ones that said they can no longer pay $1 out here, so I'm trying to figure out what was the hiccup there.
Yeah, well, they didn't get into the contract over at Scott Valley. Okay. So and what opened it up was because their footprint changed out there, so that opened it up so that we could do the going rate. So that's why I'm going to figure out how we can open that back up, because $1 a year is not feasible.
Right. No, yeah. But I think they even concur with that, because they were the driver in moving that needle the other way as well. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
You're welcome. As far as Siskiyou, we'll be having our last TAC meeting in May, which I can invite all of you to if you'd like to come to it. We will come back after that meeting again and just update you guys on the ALP for that one. The PMMP grant has been closed, and we've sent it off to the FAA for approval, and we've received some of our monies back for the ALP already from the FAA. Weed. Construction begins on Monday. Yay. It will end sometime in the end of July. It was originally slated to be 17 weeks of construction with a one-month closure. The closure is due to the FAA regulations that if we have any sort of work going on the taxiway or the runway, the taxiway or the aprons, then you have to close the runway down. We originally had the taxiway apron and hangar area scheduled at different times, so that's why it was a one-month closure. They have made a collaborative effort with the FBO and the Myers Construction and our consultant to consolidate all of that work together. So they went from one month to 17 days. We have offered our pilots that during that closure that they could have free use of our other airports for tie downs and parking there. FBO is aware of the 17-day closure. I just spoke to him a few minutes ago. His concern would be that if it ran over the 17 days, then it's heading into his profits. So we will make every effort to make it under 17 days. If it does go over 17 days, we'll figure out a way to open up that airport so that there is able to have people come in and out of that airport. And I think that's it. Some questions?
So with regard to weed, we know that the fuel rotation is a problem for the FBO, whoever they are, whether it's SISPU or here. Does that 17 days affect that fuel rotation?
As far as I know, not. And they did talk about having the mobile fuel tank out there to move around instead of it being right at the right by the hangar where they have
the fuel tank. A certified tank?
His truck is.
It's his one of his trucks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So is there a provision for loss of income or revenue for the FBO should it go over the 17 days?
I don't believe so, but we can talk about that.
So my only concern is, I know how government works. Even as good as we are, I know how government works. The contractor's going to get paid. The county government's going to get paid. But the FBO, his pay is dependent on that airport being open. So, you know, we need to monitor how that's going to happen. I know when I was out there, there was talked about a phased-in approach so that there would be more availability for flight and fuel being able to be dispensed. So I would just caution everybody that if it does go over the 17 days, it's going to be problematic. I know that Valley Aviation has already pushed off bringing employees back by 2 weeks. We're in the type of economy that we can't afford that, nor can a private business owner. Because operations out there is also revenue to the county. It's not just, yeah, we got to get her done. So I appreciate what you're doing, but I'm mindful that it's got to happen the way it's proposed, or it's going to be problematic.
I'm going to be here. I'm going to ask that part of the mapping is the two aprons and the taxiway on the side,
mm-hmm.
and then it has some hangar. I'm going to make sure that they can get that stuff done first
mm-hmm.
before moving on to in the 17 days, so at least it opens up that and they can get to the fuel.
So it's going on through July, but yet it's going to close for 17 days.
Only 17 days, and those 17 days start Monday the 29th of April.
Of April, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Siskiyou Airport, give us an update on the bathroom and what we're doing there.
We're going to have maintenance go out there and check that out to see if we can.
We heard that at the last meeting. I need to know an update with regard to what we're going to do.
I'm not sure that they made it out there or not. I think we were going to do a field trip.
Somebody made it out
there.
And that airport's bathroom has been a problem for too many years. I want to know what we're going to do.
I will make sure that they're out there and look at that before the next meeting.
That would be very helpful because we've been talking about it for far too long. Any other board member questions?
There's still I know once we did a field trip, we went to mm-hmm. there. Maybe there's something we need to think about doing again in the
yeah.
future.
Yeah. Maybe a short board day where we can head out at after lunch, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and make it a longer board day. How's that?
No.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that works.
Supervisor Bogart? Well, I'm just back to the FBO. I would expect that in the contract with the construction company that there are late delays,
oh, yes.
penalties. There should be some contingency there to make sure that the FBO can be compensated for lost wages, whether it's through the construction company or somehow we make it up to them. So that's...
I don't know that it's in the current contract. We probably have to read the contract.
It can't happen
yeah.
this time, but it going forward, you know, if we have any kind of construction going on or, you know, projects going on at airports, we need to consider that. But we all know that things don't ever go as planned.
If I could just piggyback on that a bit, I cautioned on that because that would kind of set precedents. We don't do that on regular construction jobs for private businesses. It's just part of the process of, I know how important, Supervisor Cox, if you've been an advocate for airports forever and a day, mm-hmm. we're finally getting something done. To me, it's like, that's the priority. Because as a matter of course, I'm walking and I have a constituent talking about when are you going to start the Weed Airport project. I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's always been the priority. A fixed base operator I get, but it's kind of like that's part of the process that we have to deal with.
Well, Supervisor Valenzuela, I didn't want to open this door, but in the meetings I've been in, what I'm hearing today is contrary to what I've heard in the meetings, and that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
Because the FBO was supposed to be protected in the meetings I attended, and it's changed a bit, and that's my concern by putting emphasis on that. Not that this project isn't important. It's an 18-year project, so yes, it's important, but it's also important to acknowledge what's been talked about.
Okay, well, that's yes to me, Supervisor Cox.
I understand. You opened the door, but I'm just letting you know. It isn't important.
No,
it is.
I get it. But still, you know, my concern is that, you know, we open that door. You got to do that for almost every project that we do when it comes to that. And again, that's never been my experience ever on this board that we take care of something like that. I think I'm more concerned. I actually have high hopes that this project is done in 17 days.
Yeah, hopefully. Supervisor Chris.
Shifting gears slightly here. I know you can multitask. It's one of your talents. For the Siskiyou Airport, how are we looking at in regards to the length? I know the Congressman office is engaged and other stakeholders, but how are we looking at the...
Supervisor Coffin had recommended I believe it was a senator in Oregon.
A congressman, we also reach out to mm-hmm. Congressman Vance.
Oh, yes.
Because that airport, for fire-related services, serves part of his district.
It does, yeah.
So one of our consultants is reaching out to them to see if we could get a letter of support from them as well right. on there. But again, the ALP has to be turned in, and then we go get the letters of support. So our letters of support are... almost done, and then we just have to wait for the ALP to be turned in before we submit those.
And I remember in regards to the letters of support, but also the neighboring counties up north as
yep.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever has the positive seat, you know, I don't know who did you contact the congressman just north of us? Vance is on the
east side.
What was the name again? I'm sorry.
DeFazio used to have it, but I don't remember who took the spot. I'm a little dated on who my congressman is up there.
I remember a name coming through, and I can't remember who it is, but
Alex Carlatos was
the one that was ran, but he didn't.
He ran for it a few years back, but yeah. But I can't remember who has that seat, but I think it serves those counties just north of us as well. It's I know we had talked about it. Can't remember who has that seat. Who's the number for that seat?
Yeah.
The congressman's office just north. You would think that their counties would want to advocate through them as well. That, of course, we're the champions of our own airport, so we can't allow them to do it, of course, or anything. So we have to do the AOP?
Yeah.
Acronym?
Airport layout plan.
Okay. What's the timeline for that?
Our last CAC meeting will be in May.
Okay, that's the one, okay. Mm-hmm. And in regards to the military, it's been presented that the military utilizes the Siskiyou Airport. Have we got any official correspondence from them saying that they do not want to, we're not interested in funding the length, or is it just emails or phone calls?
Well, yes, you are correct that the military is using our air base, but what the FAA is telling us is that we can't use those numbers because it's federal government.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out how we can get our numbers up without using federal government airplanes.
No, I remember that. In regards to...
I'm sorry, did I misunderstand
your question? No, it's the way I asked it. I wasn't misunderstanding. In regards to military usage of it.
Oh.
Now, they would want a certain length to be able to use it. As the military had all said, we want to contribute X amount to keep that length, or we want to do formal letters advocating for that length that it's vital to national security, or have they responded back saying, not really. we're not interested. How have they responded back to us?
Are you talking about when they wanted to do the exercises out there at the airport from
whatever usage they may use? Whatever usage they may use on it.
I don't know that they have reached back out again, but I will reach out to them if that affected
the level. I see it happening at the local level. I can absolutely see it happening at the federal level, where they're siloed. We don't talk to each other. And then something happens, and then they jump in afterwards and say, hey, we were willing to help, and we missed that boat. So I was wondering, who's your, who do we contact in the military, which branches, those sorts of things, those that will use it or have used it, and having their support either for funding, or if they said, we want to put this in the defense bill to fund a certain percentage because we feel this is vital national security, or they say it isn't, and we just, we tried it.
I would reach out to them if I could get the letter from them as well.
Yeah. Or funding or whatever they want to do.
I do know that there's trainings going on in Klamath Falls right now, and from my understanding is that they are touch and going from SIY right now. So that's, I mean, even if it is Air Force, but as a military, I don't know that we would be able to use those because of federal. But I do know that they're out there using our airport.
You know, the best for us, the local level, maybe best work through Doug Romolfa's office because they know the branches, mm-hmm. the contact, rather than you trying to grasp, you know, this airborne and this group and this group and this group. Maybe they could easily, Congressman office could easily contact all the relevant groups. Otherwise, you're chasing Kingsley Field, you're chasing everywhere that may use it. And they may be the point of contact that gets a reply, also gets a reply, but then also knows who to contact and their own liaisons. Otherwise, I'm chasing you on a bunch of different entities.
So our new software should be tracking who it is. So that should be easily done, and it should be able to substantiate the numbers to whoever needs to know what is being, what that airport's being used for.
We're actually capturing 50% more, so. Than what we were before.
Yeah.
That is a program.
Yeah.
So touch and goes don't count, right?
Well,
we don't charge for them, but they do show that,
activity.
You know, there's activity. Right. Yeah.
I know the consultant of Carol, who I met with when we were out at Weed Airport, unless I misunderstood her as well, she indicated that they were in full support of keeping the runway at the length. Or I think the minimum was 7,200 from 76, I think is what they had indicated in the presentation, something like that. At any rate, maintaining the length that would be required for the firefighting planes that are coming in.
I'm also on the hunt for the deed from the 1940s as well, because there may be some information in there that says if we have to keep the length of the way that it is, and unable to find it, but I'm still on the hunt for it.
Okay.
I have some information in there for us that we could give.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Item 7C, probation. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Mike Holden, Siskiyou County Probation Chief Probation Officer. I'm here today to talk to you about a circumstance we found ourselves in. Starting back in 2017, we initiated a contract with Pinchot County to house youths in detention. That was our sole and only contract at the time. Since then, Plan B was to add Shasta County as an additional contract, and have utilized their services since. A recent uptick in juvenile detentions caused us to utilize both contracts. I was attempting to use TAME as our primary contract, and then Shasta would have been our backup. Tehama County's had several operational challenges, which has diminished their capacity and the ability for us to use them as a primary detention facility. With that being said, we've had youths housed in both Shasta and Tehama, and this year we're in our first year of our three-year contract with Shasta County. We initially asked for a rate contract. They had made it as an encumbrance, so we were stuck within the bounds of that financial. And when we thought we would be able to manage that, you know, not foreseeing any type of operational challenges that we have seen. There are two funding sources for this, the general fund as well as the BJJ budgets both fund this, and we're at risk of our general fund exceeding the amount to exceed the limit of this contract, but we will not be exceeding the total not to exceed based on the two funding sources. So we're coming here today to ask that the board approve our ability to pay outside the contract to continue housing youth. We've continually attempted to call on a daily basis to AIMA to have those shifted. AIMA has no openings. They haven't had any for some time. We're also finding that as a challenge in itself for our department. So we are in the middle. We have asked Shasta to go back to do a rate contract in which we've sent them the language. They are an SB 81 agency, so any contract amendments, approvals has to go back to the state, two different agencies, which is CDCR and then the California Finance. So it's not an easy task, but we're hoping to eventually establish a rate contract, which would be well within our bounds of our budgets that we've established for our contracts. And in addition to that, we're also seeking additional contracts with other counties as well for Plan C, D, E, but today we're here only because we're going to exceed our not to exceed amount of the $25,000 we set aside for general fund. I'm happy to answer any questions.
How many juveniles are we talking about?
So currently there's 3 youth in each facility.
Okay.
So.
All right. And that's an uptick from our normal?
Well, it's down. We were up to 9 total. Okay. We're down to 6. Later tomorrow we'll be down to 5.
Okay.
We're hoping, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The CAO's office is in agreement? Okay.
Full support.
Okay, thank you. And I'm looking for action from the board.
Yeah, this is a serious issue, but I just want any questions or comments on it. So I would make the motion.
Okay. Have a motion. Second. And a second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa.
Aye.
Thank you, board.
Thank you. Item 17, county administration.
Good morning. Excuse me. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. The item before you is a request for board discussion, direction, and possible action for the adoption of an ordinance adding Title II Administration, Chapter 40, Contractor Debarment, Sections 2-40-01. Through 2-40.34 to the Siskiyou County Code regarding contract debarment procedures. And so this ordinance would establish a debarment procedure for contractors who either lie or provide false information and would allow the county to debar those contractors for a period of up to 5 years. I'm sure you guys have looked at the agenda packet. It is rather lengthy, but it is required to do so to comply with law. And I would like to thank Anna from County Administration and Dana from County Council who did the majority of the work on this debarment policy or debarment procedure. With that, I'm happy to take any questions from the board.
Questions from the board?
There was a lot of whereas. We have this stuff. It made sense.
Yes. So, as part of County Council's research of this, we did pull from other counties, but there is law which establishes a contractor's right to due process, and so that is captured in this document or in this ordinance.
Looking for action? County Council?
Through the chair, yes. Natalie Reed, County Council. We have 4 very minor typo corrections to make.
Okay.
And so I'll make those on the record. In the definitions section, section 2-40.04 at subsection F, Roman numeral 3, amend the word council ending in C-I-L to council ending in S-E-L. Then in section 2-40.05, entitled causes for debarment, at subsection A, the first sentence, delete the word of after the word county and before the word false. Then on the last page of the ordinance, Roman numeral 7, addressing constitutionality, should be amended to Roman numeral 3. And Roman numeral 8, addressing effective date and publication, should be amended to Roman numeral 4.
You have that, Wendy?
Yes. And just a note that the clerk's office, we did request county council to do a summary, which we will publish at the same time as the public hearing, and then it saves us cost.
Correct.
Of publishing the whole thing.
Okay.
I would move with the same motion with amendments.
With amendments. I have a motion with amendments and a second.
And that was Supervisor Ogren for the second?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And are we okay with, right now we've got May 7th being the earliest we could do the second reading. Just a reminder, we do have the May 7th afternoon set for a Planning Commission appeal.
Thank you.
Okay. So are we okay with May 7th?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
That's what we're planning for.
Thank you. And all righty, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 7E, County Council.
Yes, Valerie Reed, County Council. At this time, we're asking to drop this from the agenda and it will be brought back at a later date.
How later?
It could be literally up to 30 days to a year.
Okay.
We need to meet and confer with you.
I understand.
So it just completely depends upon their input and...
So once we get that input and we're done on that side, how long would it take to, once it comes back to us and we go through our process, to take effect?
Immediately.
We wouldn't have to wait until...
And when I say immediately, I mean that IT would be able to push the button that would then implement the process. We are not going backwards, we're going forwards. So
we could have it potentially sooner than January of next year?
So in the item, it did provide for a training period, but we can further discuss that.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
So we just like to have a clean date, also the training.
All right. Okay. Thank you. We will recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is the time for public comment on 8A. Is there any public comment in-house? Seeing none. Any online?
Showing none online.
None online. So we'll move to the consent agenda.
There's Matt's here because we need to pull this item from
okay.
the consent.
Mr. Parker, good morning.
Good morning. Matt Parker, Natural Resources. I have two very, very minor edits to the letter template. The first, Supervisor Ogren caught. Second paragraph, it should read Cute Valley GSP. And then the last paragraph, the letter should be approved by the Siskiyou County Flood Control District and not the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So with those edits, I recommend approval.
Okay.
Go ahead, Supervisor. This sent to the general public, or this sent just to the government entities?
Yeah, so this is sort of one of those Sigma required processing things that we have to send this version of a letter to all public agencies within the Butte Valley basin jurisdiction. 90 days out, we had to do this before, but the general public will get plenty of notice for all the medias and so forth. So this is just sort of one of the clocks we have to check to make sure. We send this to the Board of Supervisors, we send it to the Planning Department, so it's just sort of the signal process of stuff we have to do. And so we're doing this now because we're 90 days out from the July 9th hearing when, yeah.
And then for public notification, I take it separate from this letter, but for public notification, it'll inform people of when the Butte Valley Sigma coordinating group is meeting. So just like Two Lakes Bar, Mount Trip, the Valley's quiet trip so they can participate in those meetings.
Yep, so that's, yep, plenty of notice for them.
Right.
Is that a motion to
push
the amendments?
Yeah. Give them both amendments.
Okay, so I have a second.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty, Director Valenzuela.
Okay.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Copsa.
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. And we're at 9A, the emergency proclamation for the legal cannabis.
Is also moved to extend.
I'll second for discussion.
Okay.
So obviously we've declared an emergency and it's just like this ongoing thing. My fear is that we're losing the teeth out of this. I would like to have the sheriff come before us maybe in the next meeting, give an update where this, what this has done for us, what resources has brought into the county, and where we are moving forward. Because it's still happening out there.
Sorry. Angela Davis, County Administrator. The sheriff has stated that he is moving this up his list, and so that he will be working on the updates to this resolution to bring it current, and at that time, he will be able to provide that information.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second to extend.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa?
Aye. Item 10A, a minute approval for March 12th.
I do have a couple of corrections. Give me a sec, I've got to find them here. One typo for Supervisor Ogren, and that was in board and staff reports. That I will correct. The other is, I've got two here from Supervisor Chris, and one would be for under board reports. That he met with the California Department of Agriculture rather than the Ag Commissioner. I can make that change. And then Supervisor Chris, I had a question on the Siskiyou Transportation Agency, JPA. Would that be an addition to the wording that's on that page versus?
It would be. What I wanted to include in that for my colleagues, and Supervisor Cox, I brought this up earlier when you were talking about McLeod CSD and the Chastina CSD.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember asking that question, Ms. Cummins. Which it wasn't part of the JPA formal vote, to have them included. Somewhere in there, somewhere in the discussion that she said she was going to meet with them to include them in the discussion on what needed to be done in their areas, because they're county cities.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's if I have to listen to the audio to figure out where to put it in.
I'm sorry to do that for you.
Oh, no, that's no worry.
Did this not somehow include that she was going to reach out to the CSDs as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
No, I can do that. And other than that, there were no other changes.
Okay. Board action.
Move to approve the amendments.
Second.
Yeah, second.
Okay. Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa.
Aye. Any staff reports? I'm sorry. That's right.
County Council. I have a request to add an emergency item to the closed session agenda and initiation of litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4. One case, after the posting of the agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting of today, April 2nd, County Council was advised of facts and circumstances related to a matter for which the board's direction is required as to whether to initiate litigation. The next board meeting is not until April 16th, and direction regarding this matter is needed before the next regularly scheduled board meeting. Therefore, I am requesting that the board determine by a two-thirds vote of the members present today that this is an urgency item and will be added to the agenda.
Questions?
Move to add it to the
second.
And this is going to be added to closed session,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
And Copsef is the second. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsef?
Aye. So with that, any staff reports? Any board reports?
Yeah, real quick. I'm going to be going down to Escondido for the state wildfire mitigation resiliency thing. And I see Joy's left, but one of the things I think came up about airports, the head of the Forest Service for the Western Region is part of that. Mm-hmm. So if she gives me something that I can give to her when I'm down there, I'd be happy to do that.
About keeping the extension of the runway?
No, more on the Happy Camp.
Happy Camp, yeah. Okay. But the for firefighting purposes, the Siskiyou would be critical too, no?
She wanted to give me a paper that I can clue her in on. I'm happy to do that. Happy to help
one
cause
pager,
as you.
Yeah. A one pager.
Yeah. Because it's not good, you know, it's not like she's got her own test.
Supervisor Ogren?
I had a Collier Interpretive Center meeting Tuesday night after our last meeting. I had a ZEV EDC Zoom meeting, ZEV being whatever those are.
Climate
electric,
collaborative
electric
vehicle
meeting.
That's right.
What that was. And then I had a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation event meeting and an RCRC legislative call. That was Thursday. And then I had a Farm Bureau dinner that I attended on Saturday night. That's all.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, for me, Farm Bureau dinner, Klamath ESA meetings we had. Where we talked about the refuge and the watering it. And then with Miss Allie, we attended the official turn on of D plant, so the water would be blue from the Fleshippi Ridge for the watering down there. It was quite a, that had been rain for some time. So that was good news.
And lastly, I attended the Siskiyou County Farm Bureau dinner as well.
So just real quick, any dad, including the board, last Wednesday on the 27th, I met with from the Mount Shasta Resort. It's in the process. They want to extend their lease, and there's, you know, things are swirling on that front.
I think we've got a letter in the works somewhere, right? Yeah, for support.
No, you're talking about the museum.
I'm sorry, this is the resort.
As it, you know, they have private property, but just like the river park, we have a lease with them. Okay, that's it.
All right, we're going into closed session.